This is The F Word, Vancouver's only explicitly feminist radio show. Feminism, a new wave on the radio.
I beat drums in city slums where my heart speaks from and necks not back at the sound of a gun. But nobody runs, cause nobody knows if nobody's sons just got shot, so nobody comes and nobody stops. Nobody moving, nobody pauses.
What's the matter with your life? Why you gotta mess with mine? Don't keep sweating what I do, cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out. If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business. And if she wanna be a freaking, sell it on a weekend, it's none of your business. Now you shouldn't even get into who I'm giving skins to, it's none of your business. So don't try to change my mind, I tell you one more time, it's none of your business. Now who do you think you are? Your G2 cents in. Don't you got nothing to do? Then worry about my friends. Check it.
I can't do nothing, girl, without somebody bugging. I used to think that it was me, but now I see it wasn't. They told me to change and call me names, and so I popped one. Opinions are like assholes, and everybody's got one. I never poke my nose where I'm not supposed to. Believe me, if it's something that I want, I'm stepping closer. I'm not one for playing high pole like the Hossa did in 90210 type of hoe. I treat a man like he treats me. The difference between a hooker and a hoe ain't nothing but a feat. So hold your tongue tightly. Wish you could be like me. You're popping all that mess only to stress and to spite me. Now you could get with that or you could get with this, but I don't give a shit, cause really it's none of your business.
1993, S&P, packing and macking, bamboozling and smacking suckers with this track and throw the beat back in.
If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight,
it's none of your business.
And if she wanna be a freaking, sell it on a weekend,
it's none of your business.
Now you shouldn't even get into who I'm giving skins to,
it's none of your business.
So don't try to change my mind, I tell you one more time,
it's none of your business.
How many rules am I to break before you understand that your double standards don't mean shit to me? I know exactly what you say when I turn and walk away, but that's okay, cause I don't let it get to me. Now every move I make, somebody's clocking, so ask me nothing, will you just leave me alone? Never mind who's the guy that I took home to bone.
Okay, Miss Thing, never giving up skins. If you don't like him or his friends, what about that Benz? Your pet pep's got an ill rep. With all that macaroni trap for rap, you better step. Or better yet, get your head checked. Cause I refuse to be played like a Venus and trick deck of cards. No, I ain't hard like the bitches on a boulevard. My face ain't scarred and I don't dance in bars. You can call me a tramp if you want to, but I remember the punk who just humped and dumped you. Or you can front if you have to, but everybody gets horny just like you. So, yo, ho, check it, double deck it, on a regular butt naked. Pep's ass gets respected, miss, but it's none of your business.
If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight,
it's none of your business.
And if she wanna be a freaking, sell it on a weekend,
it's none of your business.
Now you shouldn't even get into who I'm giving skins to,
it's none of your business.
So don't try to change my mind, I tell you one more time,
it's none of your business.
So, the moral of this story is, who are you to judge? There's only one true judge, and that's God. So chill and let my father do his job.
The salt and pepper's got it swinging again. The salt and pepper's got it swinging again. The salt and pepper's got it swinging again.
Hello and welcome to The F Word. Today on the show, we are going to be talking about women in hip hop. For a change, as opposed to women on hip-hop, women and hip-hop, women around hip-hop, all the poor women in hip-hop. We have Ellie in the studio today, and Ariana, and myself, Megan Murphy. So, we are going to start the show by exploring that apparently elusive female in hip-hop. Where is she? What does she look like? Why is it so rare to see her? Well, most music genres, like metal, rock, punk, tend to be a man's game, defined on male terms. The gender imbalance in hip-hop is so glaring that for female hip-hop lovers like ourselves, desperately seeking someone to relate to, we often end up having to well, settle. That's not to say that there aren't many, many amazing female MCs out there, from Foxy Brown to Salt-N-Pepa to Missy Elliott to Roxanne Shanté. The women in hip-hop have shaped the culture in a prominent way. That said, when we think of hip-hop, and when we start marking memories, 93 till infinity, I know, going back to Cali, summertime in the LBC, and naming off our favorites, it usually sounds a little more like Biggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, Wu-Tang, Outkast, CeeLo, Slick Rick, Dead Prez, Talib Kweli, Tribe, and oh, the list goes on and on, before we ever even get close to naming MC Light, or Lauryn Hill. In high school, we knew all the words to Juicy, Once Again, Passing Me By, and then Akinyele's Put It In Your Mouth. Is that the best we can do? When we were listening to women, it seems like we weren't taking them all that seriously. Where was the ladies' Illmatic? There's never been anything close to a female version of Public Enemy or Wu-Tang. There still isn't. There are female rockers out there who we respect as the culture at large, even now. But when we're asked to talk about female MCs, we have to go back 20, 30 years to find someone we can say, yeah, they had skills, they were saying something. That women are to be seen and not heard is painfully evident in the hip-hop world, where we can maybe hear Talib Kweli saying something political or socially conscious. We don't hear a woman saying those things. It seems more important that she flaunt her body than say anything of significance. And while, yeah, there are those few we can lean on and say, there was Lauryn Hill. There was Lauryn Hill. And then what? Dead silence. And you could say, well, it is what it is. Or as Russell Simmons put it, there was no secret meeting, like, let's keep all the women out. But clearly women have skills, just like the boys. And where are they? Why can't we hear them?
Sometimes we must completely destroy that which we build, so that we may rebuild all over again. It's just a cycle of life. Laugh now, cry forever.
I'm so sorry that I'm killing everybody. I'm not sorry that I'm killing everybody. I can't help it, but I'm killing everybody. Forgive me, Heavenly Father. I am a sinner. My actions are homicidal. You can hold me liable, but these killings were justifiable. It's undeniable. Phony MCs are liars whose lyrics are never viable. Murder was all that I could do. This atrocity was a prophecy the Messiah knew. He sent the angels of death, voices to guide me through. Clutching my Bible in rage, feeling maniacal. I grabbed the closest mic with no wire to let the fire through. I orchestrated a premeditated plot. And once I start to lyrically murder, I can't stop. Hundreds of bodies drop. Bloody murder, they screaming. Their souls I'm condemning for lyrically blaspheming. They falling to the floor. Killed 22 or more. Rock Kim's microphone beam was my movie score. Survivors wanted mentally. They had the memories of witnessing the pain and strangulation from my similes. Told them to stay clear. What a mess I made here. Hands bloodier than Lady Macbeth and Shakespeare. Didn't shed a tear. No regret, no remorse. This beat is guilty, of course. But I had no choice. So now I'm so sorry that I'm killing everybody. I'm not sorry that I'm killing everybody. I can't help it, but I'm killing everybody. I'm so sorry that I'm killing everybody. I'm not sorry that I'm killing everybody. I can't help it, but I'm killing everybody. Ty is killing everybody in sight like secondhand smoke from a Newport Light. That's right. And I refuse to stifle my speech. I'm surrounded by syrup sippers and recycled beats. Killing broke black rappers.
I'm That was Ty Phoenix with Killing Everybody. And in case you didn't happen to know what that first song was that we played, that was Salt and Pepper, None of Your Business. So, I went to junior high school in Toronto during the mid-90s, and it was pretty much a requirement that one had to watch BET in order to be cool and streetwise. BET, for those of you who don't know, is the acronym for Black Entertainment Television. It was a station launched in 1980, whose popularity largely relies on the viewership of hip-hop and R&B music videos. The music video countdown show called 106 in Park was the show that I used to watch, and it's still on air. Despite its popularity, BET has a reputation for depicting images that completely degrade women, and a legacy of creating dangerous environments for women through their annual Spring Bling event in Florida. In the excellent documentary by Byron Hurt on masculinity and hip-hop culture titled Beyond Beats and Rhymes, Chuck D of Public Enemy says that BET is the cancer of black manhood in the world. So with all this in mind, I was very interested to note that BET had recently produced its very first original documentary, and the topic was about female MCs. It was titled My Mic Sounds Nice, The Truth About Women and Hip-Hop. And it weaves the North American story of women in hip-hop through interviews with the biggest names, some of the biggest names, such as MC Lyte, Eve, Missy Elliott, Salt-N-Pepa, Queen Latifah, just to name a few. And of course, there's a bunch of powerful male figureheads that were interviewed throughout. And before I go anywhere near critiquing the film, I want to say that it's completely worth a watch. It was extremely well edited and put together, and I think the intentions behind the film were quite genuine, and the female director did an excellent job. The first thing that did really impress me was that they included hip-hop writer and feminist Joan Morgan in the commentary. You can find her entertaining and concise analysis of the interweaving issues like sexism and racism and homophobia that interplay with the hip-hop scene in her book titled When the Chicken Heads Come Home to Roost, A Hip-Hop Feminist Breaks It Down. So, we're going to take you through our thoughts and reflections on the film and the general rise and so-called decline of females in the hip-hop scene. So I figured that we better start with the 80s, and to do that right, here you go with some MC Lyte.
I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T-E. I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T-E. I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T-E. Do you understand the metaphoric phrase, light as a rock? It's explaining how heavy the young lady is. You know what I'm saying, King?
Yes, my brother. But I would consider light as a rock a simile because of the usage of the word as. And now, directly from the planet of Brooklyn, MC Lyte as a rock.
Must I say it again? I said it before. Move out the way when I'm coming through the door. Me? Heavy is light as a rock. Guys watch, even some of the girls clock. Step back, it ain't that type of party. No reply if you ain't somebody. Get out my face, don't want to hear no more. If you hate rejection, don't try to score. First base, you ain't got what it takes. Your smile, your wink, your big fake flake. You're so pathetic, you make my stomach turn. You beg, you borrow, now you have to learn. I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T. I am the light. Light as a rock, or I should say a boulder, rolling down your neck, pounding on your shoulders. Never shall I be an MC called a wannabe. I am the light, L-Y-T-E. This is the way it is, don't ever forget. Hear the rhyme of someone else, and you know they've been all in the way, just little obstacles. Chew them up, spit them out, just like popsicles. Suckers out of my way, we're not on the same wavelength. I show stability, potential, and strength. On the other hand, you are weak and unruly. Can never be a spot, cause you're just a plain stupid. I am the light. I'm a slave to the rhythm. Death rhymes on the microphone is what I'm giving. Yes, I am a rock and you are just a pebble. Milk turn up the bass and rock adjust the levels. If a rap can paint 1,000 words and I can paint 1,000,000. Wait, light is capable of painting up 1,000,000 raps. And when I say it, this is what I mean. Audio 2 and the alliance on the scene. Now I'd like to say what's up to my producer, King of Chill. Party people, are you ready? Jam if you will. Never underestimate Light DMC. I am a rapper who is here to make things the way they're meant to be. The word ultimate, I'm here to take the title. But I had a little trouble on my rival. But I got rid of those who tried to rock me. Light is here, no one can stop me. I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T. I am the light.
They are hip-hop leaders, this you know. We also have hip-hoppers that follow. By the tone of my voice, you can tell I am a scholar. I'm also the leader of the hip-hop followers. Now get this, I'm at a jam and I'm rocking it. Suckers like a checkerboard, red, black is flocking it. The greats as I ease across the stage, bars around the audience, sort of like a cage. They laugh, cause they assume I'm in prison, but in reality, they're locked in. Once again, I'll state that I can't be stopped, cause yo, I am as light as...
Welcome back to the F Word. On today's show, we're talking about the also elusive female MC. Just wanted to throw a little warning out there for explicit language. You know, just in case you hear some things that maybe seem inappropriate on a feminist radio show. I warned you! what it means to be a female MC seems to have changed dramatically over the past few decades. We look at the 80s and we see Roxanne Shanté and MC Light, who we heard earlier. And they were respected simply because they were talented MCs. They battled with the boys in sweaters and overcoats, never feeling like they were supposed to change into bikinis before getting on stage. Queen Latifah obviously had a tough, non-sexualized image, though she was clearly female and spoke about issues affecting women. Salt and Peppa were certainly sexual, but they were far from objectified in that draped across a car, nothing but a fur coat image we started to see later on in the 90s. What happened? Did male execs finally figure out how to sell the female MC? Lil Kim and Foxy Brown were both talented, but their image was all about sex appeal. All about sex appeal. Being some of only a few women in a man's world brimming over with misogyny and male power, maybe this was the only way they felt they could compete. They essentially joined in on the misogyny and gained power by playing into it in a you-want-me-you've-got-to-pay kind of way. They were raunchy in a way that women had never been before. Foxy talking about her Nana and Kim basically matching the boys word for word in their sexcapade style lyrics. He ate my pussy from dark till the morning, called his girl up and told her we was boning. Puerto Rican poppy, he used to be a deacon, but now he be sucking me off on the weekend, etc., etc. It sounds shocking coming from a lady's mouth, but, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of male rappers say the same thing, pointed in the opposite direction.
The thing I liked about, well, I'll probably end up quoting Joan Morgan a lot, because she's one of my favorite people in the BET documentary, when she was talking about the 80s, before Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown came onto the scene, when she spoke plainly about the 80s, as in, like, in the streets women were a presence, and in the streets they were B-girls, so... And there wasn't such a heavy industry, so they were just part of the actual scene on the streets. Whereas, like, we're in the 90s, it seems like there's so much manufacturing. And even the male producers, who obviously are implicit in all of that's happening, they were talking about it in the film. They're like, oh, the female MCs from the 80s were so much more natural and all this kind of stuff. And, well, Roxanne Shanté as well, who is one of the people that everyone seemed to kind of think of as one of the first female B-girls, was, she just said, she's like, there's no stylist. Like, I just, whatever I was wearing that day is what I wore on stage. She's like, there's no time for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I imagine that part of what happened was money, obviously, and the hip-hop industry changing to be very focused on material things and get money. But it's still, like, the way in which female MCs were sold in the 90s became very different, and it didn't seem to be so much about their skills, because maybe they were good lyricists, but there was so much pressure for them to be wearing absolutely nothing and to sex it up. Hence the appearance of Foxy Brown and Kim, who are good. I don't want to turn this into kind of a dualistic argument that's black and white, like they were oppressed and they didn't know it, but
yeah. Well, even Joan Morgan again, she said, like, after they came onto the scene, it seemed like record producers turned around and were like, okay, this is the formula, like, we know now it works.
Yeah, we know how to sell a female MC.
Mm-hmm. And what may be a bit sad was when one of the first questions it seems like they asked the women that were being interviewed in the film was, when was the first time you heard a female rap? And I was thinking about, like, that question being asked to them and then that question being asked to my generation, or the one, maybe, I think the one younger, like 10 years younger than me, would be interesting too, because I feel like it'd be way different, because when they asked all these people like Salt-N-Pepa and Missy Elliott and MC Light, like when the first time they heard a woman rap, you can just see the light in their eyes light up, and just the light in their eyes light up. About, and then recalling people like, what was her name? Sha-Rock from Funky Four Plus More, and you can hear them talking about these women entering and them being like, oh, and then I realized women could do this. And then when I think about kind of the scene that's been created for women, the mainstream women anyways, now, and talking to like a 15-year-old today about when the first time they heard a woman rap, I don't think it would be said with the same kind of like glowing inspiration.
No, and even when I think back, I'm not sure if I can pinpoint that moment, the first moment I heard a woman rap, but I know that it was more likely that it was like Kim in Junior Mafia. Like it was one of those women who was backed by a really prominent male rapper.
Well, a lot of the women credited male artists for bringing them into the music scene.
Yeah. Well, and in the documentary that Ellie was talking about earlier on BET, Eve kind of, it was almost as if she'd never thought about it before. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, yeah, I guess it was, you know, where would we all be without these guys who gave us these opportunities and made us, essentially, they were made by men. And she's like, I don't know if that's chivalry or sexism, but it is what it is.
And thanks for helping us out.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was saying to Megan before the show, I was glad that they did include someone like Eve, who really had quite obviously been immersed in this culture and this way of, you know, she was rolling with the Rough Riders, and it has been a while since I listened to that era of hip-hop, but as I remember, all like Lil' Kim was with Biggie, and DeBrat was with Jermaine Dupri and everything, but she was so in that culture that she hadn't even thought of it not being the way it had to be. And it was just so obvious in her demeanor.
Yeah.
She hadn't thought about it before. And what I'd read the summary of an interesting study by hip-hop scholar Angie Beattie that said that, because this was the era right when they had all the male producers, and I mean, that still continues today, obviously, and not always for the worst, but one of the things that she noted was that the more control female rappers had over their writing, over their production of the albums, the less likely they were to use like self-denigrating language like bitch and hoe. And I mean, that's what Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim really brought out to the scene, was the bitch and hoe thing. I'm a bitch, I'm gonna mess you up, I'm
yeah,
a clean
and
bitch.
Kind of like, I can match you, like I can mm-hmm. match this, all this misogyny. This like kind of like tough girl image, like this girl with an attitude kind of image, that was really very much what Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown were putting forward. It seems like in order to be tough, you kind of just have to do what the boys are doing, like talk about your pussy and talk about all the guys you're fucking, and you know, just sort of flip it around without mm-hmm. and you know, I don't know if it. I don't think it counts as subversive or feminist or necessarily empowering, just by kind of turning around what men are doing to women and how men are talking about women and just flipping it.
Yeah, and the thing about this, referring to yourself as a bitch and the queen bitch, as Lil' Kim says, but is that today, as we know, when the word bitch is used in hip-hop, it hasn't taken the viciousness out of calling a woman a bitch, like it hasn't helped. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, whether I still feel where Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim are coming from a bit, but like that whole so-called reclaiming bitch thing, like it just didn't work, and it hasn't pushed us forward as far as I'm concerned. It was like when they brought up Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown in the documentary to MC Light and all these kind of forerunners of hip-hop, you could tell they didn't even know still what to make of it all, because they were just, well, MC Light was like, at first I was a bit concerned. That was the first thing she said.
Yeah, I mean, they were shocking. They shocked everybody. Yeah, they shocked all the other female MCs before them. They shocked their audience. They shocked the world by talking in that way. Like, we'd never heard those words come from a woman before.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that maybe we should talk to somebody who's in the hip-hop scene right now.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah. Luckily, we should just have somebody on the show very shortly.
Like, right now?
Like, hopefully, wow. Over the next course of the song.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so since we're moving up to... We'll come back to kind of more our analysis of that film and what's going on in the 2000s. But before we do that, we want to talk to a female rapper who's holding it down now, and her name is Eternia. And this is her track we're going to play off her new album.
Yeah. Okay. Goes like this. Hey yo, I admit to you, moms raised me alone, but I didn't do, so I got some issues. Yeah, I could say I do, but before I do, you should know some things that I have been through. Pops was not a nice dude. He tried to kill my mother this one time, I was still in the womb. So does that make me the fool? Cause when I call him up now and then and say I love you, it's true. I left home at 15, was dating this dude, 9 years old, it wasn't as weird as it seems, yeah. Cause he treated me better than I had ever been, and to this day that fact's still the same, yeah. The same year I was assaulted with a gun, these dudes locked me in a room, molested me for fun. I swear I would scream or I'd run if I told my pops they dumb, but I thought of their mothers with dead sons, and that empathy, I wish I was cold. Cause if I was, I could've stripped for a dollar, but I couldn't risk my soul, so I didn't. I left school, came back, finished, went to college, graduated with honors. But get this, memories my mind conveniently erases. Strange homes alone, got touched in strange places. That's why I freak out when you touch me and I'm screaming. I don't know it's you, it's just my past evil demons, and they're plenty. They haunt me all the time, I ain't ready for love. I never knew who he was or when he met me, so I looked for him in all the wrong faces. Got used by more than one dude, in fact, most of them was faking. So when you talk about making a life, I think about the two I killed already. It's too late for me, right? Yeah, yo, you could make me your wife, but why would you wanna? I got problems, so go on, go on, go on.
So that was Eternia's track you just heard. And she is a critically acclaimed Canadian-born female MC. She's had her fourth full-length album out right now, titled At Last, in collaboration with Canadian producer Moss. And we're speaking to her live this morning from Toronto for a quick few minutes. Good morning, Eternia, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm actually in New York City right now.
You're in New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. Live from New York, then.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for speaking with us, and we won't try to take up too much of your time here.
No worries.
Okay, so just to jump right on board of kind of our topic here, I recently saw a clip of you talking to Jean Grey, who is another female MC, and she was expressing her frustration that she sometimes feels like she should be pictured alongside a Minotaur, because to the public it seems like female rappers are mythological creatures. And she's been on the scene for a while, and so have you, I think, rapping for 15 years. And do you feel like a mythological creature sometimes?
I mean, I've been called a unicorn on more than one occasion. They're like, the unicorn of hip-hop, which I find funny. No, I don't. I think that what she said was definitely hilarious and kind of true, but I never thought about it that way before. I guess I have an insider's perspective, so it always surprises me when people are so unaware of
what's going on.
The female MCs. You know, it surprises me that in 2010 people get shocked when they see us on stage and like, they've never seen it before. You know, like, it's some crazy phenomenon, but you know, I guess in the mainstream they still are rare, and when they do exist, not in the same form as what I do or what Jean does. So I mean, I guess I can understand pop culture level that people don't really see much of that.
And you've done some tours with all female performers before, is that right?
I have, yeah. Most recently, well, I mean, I do a lot of female festivals, but the tour that we did was in 2008 in Europe with Roxanne Shanté and Bahamadia Invincible, DJ Shorty, and a lot of other incredible women. And it was amazing. It was, like, honestly life-changing for me. We were on the road for 3 weeks together, almost a month, and all over Europe. And, man, it was, like, the most uplifting, positive experience I've ever had on tour in my life.
Was there a nice feeling, a nice environment around having so many female performers around?
You know what? There was, and I went into the tour not knowing what to expect, especially when you get a whole bunch of women in one tour van, you know, in one room. Mm-hmm. Things could go either very good or very bad, and things went very good because we're all very confident at where we are, musically, career-wise, you know. There was no territorialism whatsoever. You know, everyone was very confident in themselves and their craft, and so we were quite supportive of each other, and everyone kind of assumed a different role on tour. So, like, I always say Roxanne Shanté was kind of like the mama. She was like the mama bear. Mohammadi is hilarious. People don't know she got jokes. She's real funny. Invincible was the one that... Invincible's hilarious, too, but comedy, but she's also, you know, as you know, quite serious and quite politically active, so she'd be putting us on to things that was going on around the world, and we all just shared, you know, the music we were making and a lot of stories that weren't hip-hop related, but women in hip-hop share a lot of common experiences in life, so whether that be, you know, experiences with our families, with our significant others, or, you know, a lot of us share a lot of similar experiences, so that was a bonding thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really encouraging to hear, and I've heard you say before, that in terms of just the larger hip-hop scene, that the gender discrimination in the scene is really prevalent, but it's really subtle, so it's hard to combat. But what interests me, though, is a route you've decided to take, it seems like, is through your t-shirt campaign, which I think is an awesome, really simple, obvious way to get the dialogue started. So could you tell us a bit about the My Favorite Rapper Wears a Skirt t-shirt campaign?
Yeah, it started kind of without much thought. It's funny, I walked into a venue one day and somebody said that to me. They were joking. They're like, "My favorite rapper wears a skirt." And literally a light bulb went off above my head and I was like, "You mind if I use that?" And the rest is history. But what it turned into is really, it's something that gets people talking. So it could be me. It could be about me. Obviously, when I made the shirt, it was meant to represent Eternia. It represents a whole lot of other female MCs. And more than anything, it gets people thinking about what their, I guess, preconceived notions are of rappers in general. Like, I'll have people wear that shirt, especially when dudes wear it, and people will stop them and be like, "What, you like a cross-dressing rapper?" Like, they just immediately assume that it's a dude.
Yeah, they couldn't possibly be referring to a woman, right? So
no, like they would rather believe, or they, you know, first jump to the conclusion that it's a dude that wears a skirt, and I just find that hilarious. So it definitely gets people talking, and then once people talk, they love it. I mean, I was at South by Southwest this March with my whole crew and like 5-6 of us walking through the streets all wearing a shirt, and everyone stopped us, whether they like hip-hop or not, whether they know who Eternia is or not. People were just like, love it, love the shirt, you know. And so, you know, obviously on a personal level, it's a good promotional vehicle for me, but on a bigger level, I think it was just meant and to get people talking. And it's very important to note that it's like a positive statement because, you know, I could put out a shirt, and I've thought of this, I could put out a shirt that says, you know, some girls rap better than boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's cool too, but it's also kind of negative, and this is a positive affirming statement, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally appreciate where you're coming from with that one. And I think, like you said, it stops people in their tracks and everyone wants to talk about it.
Right.
Okay, I have a quick question before we let you go, but one, MC Light has said before that male rappers hold a lot of power, and if they spend a lot of their time dissing women, which a chunk of the mainstream ones do at least, of course it's going to prevent some audience people from going out and buying albums by female rappers. I'm wondering if you think that some of your male counterparts need to step up and take some responsibility in fighting gender discrimination.
That's a really good question. You know, I never go into this industry. I don't have any expectations, so it's not like I think, you know, you're responsible for this and you're responsible for that. And I'm always looking at myself and thinking, how can I change things? How can I, you know, be more responsible? That being said, the few times that men in the industry have supported me, whether that be by putting me on a tour, whether that be by putting me on a track, whether that be by just telling people about me and just basically saying, you know, peer-to-peer, this MC rocks. She happens to be a chick. You know what I mean? It's been extremely... It's opened a lot of doors. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of people aren't courageous enough, even if they do really like an MC, to admit it, especially if it's a girl. And the people that have been courageous enough, you know, it's been a bonus for me. It's not an expectation, it's definitely a bonus. Moss is a good example of that, my producer that, that I just did the last record with that last. You know, it takes a lot of guts, especially when you're working with Premiere and Ghostface and stuff like that, to basically say, I'm going to produce this whole record for this woman that you guys have never heard of, you know, at the time, and she's dope, and you're going to see. And I think that takes a lot of courage. I mean, obviously hip-hop is a boys' club, and we like to, I guess, get acknowledgement and recognition from our peers. And so I always say that anybody that kind of is an Eternia fan, but especially the men out there and especially the men in the industry, are leaders. You know, they're courageous and they're leaders.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thanks for talking with us. What are your current plans right now, and are you planning on coming out west anytime soon?
Oh, man, I'd love to. We're working on tours, you know. I just dropped the album, so it's really about promoting the record right now. We're hoping to go to Europe in December of this year. We're hoping to do across the U.S., Lord willing, next year. And Canada, I'm always, you know, I'm always in Canada doing shows. I was in Vancouver in March for Sisterhood.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that was out west, but I definitely want to come back and I want to hit the whole country, so hopefully you guys will be seeing me. I want to thank you. I heard you playing To the Future, and that's not even a single yet, but we shot a music video for it because a lot of people were commenting on that song on the album, and we never thought that, like, an interlude-type track would get so much attention, so we shot a music video to it, and I'm actually hoping to promote that with a campaign to stop violence against women in the upcoming year.
Excellent. It really affected me, that track, a lot. That's why I picked it to one of the ones we were going to play today.
I appreciate that. It was the hardest to record.
I can imagine. Where can people find you online?
Thank you. Good for asking. Facebook.com/EterniaMusic, Twitter.com/TheRealEternia. On MySpace, I'm simply Eternia. Bandcamp. I mean, if you type in Eternia in Google, you will literally find me.
Something will come.
I'm on all those accounts myself. I run them myself.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining this morning, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. I hope to see you guys sometime in the next year.
Excellent. Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
This is what y'all been blogging about, right? Slice that. Lauren, anything less than six figures, I ignore them. Hit Ventura for strip temporal with pimps from Florida, friends from Europe. Hip hop police, got hip hop jurors. We some hip hop purists, and it just got purer. See, look what the gang came down to since Rowlett. Chicks a hot mess, Fergie, all we got left. Sad story, even the awards done dropped the category. These rap, corny, 99 problems, my era. Got about 99, with 99 in a flash. 99, 10 years past, when I'm dropping motherfuckers still ass like that.
What? more I gotta say. It's like
that.
Listen, I got a passion for spitting, smashing the competition. Vocals the logo for the back-to-back world champion Pistons, undebatable. Flesh is biodegradable. People ego deflatable. See no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer. Left standards, red-handed, set standards, dedicated to Dilla Proof. Abel Miracle, Fannie Lou Hamer, Marlon Riggs, Lena, and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door to Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Red and Vodka. My lyrics open up the portal, see your seven chakras, helicopter circle. And watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. So fibers and bitten drama. Prevent it, remember not for smash. Barriers, barriers, barriers on the roadblocks. You don't get it, do you? The struggle don't stop it, don't quit. Worldwide, winning with style and globetrotters. Globetrotters at home if you stuck in time. A broke watch, smash. The walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball with it all at stake. Yeah. Why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best. Your respects the size of your attention span. It's fresh air when I'm speaking to y'all. Sometimes it falls upon deaf ears like I'm speaking to walls. I ain't preaching to y'all, breaking cycles of violence, not repeating their flaws. Open up your memory bank, I got the key to the vault. Serving the antidote to Alzheimer's, deleting and stall. Can't go below, but think it over. We the leaders we've all been waiting for. Believe it, heed the call, breathe it, keeping them ball. These lyrics, heat seekers deplete, tweet us till the speakers dissolve. Each generation must find its mission, fulfill or betray it. I know that ours is more than just being killers or players. I'm making millions of papers. Our blood is spilling the haters. Too much injustice among us. Is it still a complacent? Yeah. Smash the walls of hate. End it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound. You just missed it now. Present with the essence. And we ball with it all at stake. Yeah.
But you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
But you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. Smash the walls of hate. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound. You just missed it now. Present with the essence. Who we ball with it all at stake. Yeah.
Today on the show, we've been talking about the elusive female MC. Where is she? Where was she? Where did she go? Is she still here? She is still here. We just heard one of her.
Because they are one mass entity.
The giant she. That was a great interview with Eternia, who is... really, really awesome MC. You guys should all check her out. We played a couple of her tracks earlier. So I had a few more little things that I wanted to say about the glory days. You know, people, when they talk about female MCs, they talk about the 90s as being the glory day of the female MC. In real life, the 90s were the glory days of hip-hop, so it kind of makes sense. I don't know if there's anything special about the 90s for women, per se. I think it was maybe just special for hip-hop. But that said, there was Lauryn Hill, who we didn't mention earlier while we were talking about the sexed-up Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim, but Lauryn Hill is one of those MCs that sometimes people do mention in their lists of their favorites.
And in the film, when the name Lauryn Hill was mentioned, every single person they interviewed, including like all these big-time male producers, all these big-time male editors of music magazines, just stopped in their tracks. It was like mentioning the second coming or something. So
yeah.
She's like in a league of her own, like beyond any sort of gender politics.
Yeah.
It was incredible to see the change in demeanor of everyone in the film when she was mentioned.
And she is one of those people that, I mean, people who are hip-hop fans love Lauryn Hill, and they respect her as an artist. And nobody really knows where she went. I mean, they do know where she went, but it seems like one of those things that after Lauryn Hill left the scene, there was nothing else. And the other women that were out around that time and still coming out seemed to be super hypersexualized, and she was one of those few that wasn't.
There was that interesting comment about the glam, right? The idea someone, a producer, was saying, well, it's too expensive to have the ladies all glammed up, the hair and the makeup, and to have these artists get out there. And I was thinking, well, it's like ridiculous. I mean, that's one artist. And in all these male artists' music videos, you have like multitudes of women who are completely, you know, glammed, if you want to use that word. There's tons of styling and costume and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a pretty pathetic excuse.
That was an awesome comment.
Documentary.
They're like, where are all the female MCs? Oh, they're too expensive.
And they're too bullshit. And they're too emotional. That was actually what
they're
the main
so
reason
high
was. But what was so, and they had Trina on there, who I guess they considered to be the only long lasting female MC in the last decade, and she had no qualms kind of what to her was the true story. Is like, men don't want to hear what I have to say, they want to see me like mostly naked, was basically what she said. And she's like, I need to have a million stylists, and yeah, it's expensive, but this is what it is to be a woman. Like, she was just totally saying that up front.
And even, like, the women interviewed in the documentary were kind of agreeing. I mean, this is all editing, right? So
yeah,
who knows
true.
What they really
yeah.
said. I yeah. mean, but clearly the point that the documentary makers wanted to get across was that women are so high maintenance, their makeup, their hair, their nails, blah, blah, blah. And as you mentioned before, they're too emotional. And I just couldn't believe it. It's like, what? Who cares? Like men aren't high maintenance. Give me a fucking break. They're ending up in jail. They're getting arrested. They're in the tabloids. They're like, you know, being charged for rape and abuse. Like,
that sounds emotional to
that
me.
That sounds high maintenance.
And high maintenance.
Yeah. Like, it was just like the documentary. I just really enjoyed it. And it was like the balloon deflated. In the last 10 minutes when it was like, and this is your ultimate conclusion? Are you kidding
well,
me?
Well, they need too much makeup, so.
Okay. All right. Thanks for watching.
Case closed.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Ja Rule. Hopefully not.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, like Eternia and like Invincible, who we just played before, and about a million other people that are out, that are still out and representing Ty Phoenix, Equal, what is Kira Khadidri? I'm trying to think of all the people that are out right now. And we actually have someone who's part of the F Word.
Invincible? Who, did you say Invincible?
I said Invincible.
She's so good.
I love Invincible. I love her. Anyways, from Detroit, check her out. She refused a bunch of record label offers because she didn't want to sell out. She started her own record label instead called Emergence. Check her out.
And
she's
all people
amazing.
Can talk about when you talk about female MCs is Invincible, Invincible, Invincible.
Because mm-hmm. she's incredible. Anyways, so I think we need to turn it over to Ariana at this point in the show.
Our very own Ariana. We're so excited.
Hey, thanks, guys. Or ladies, rather. I'm going to play sort of a rap spoken word piece that I created with Nico Rivella, who laid down the tracks for me. So when I was writing a feminist hip-hop piece, I was thinking about how the F word, feminism, has become a dirty word. And I think, like rap, it needs a little reappropriation. Combining these two is like giving mouth-to-mouth to a capsized movement with a powerful history in need of reclamation and momentum. Our competitive culture keeps us busy judging ourselves by ridiculous standards when we could be out writing harmonious solidarities in a dissonant world. This song is about feminist expression, artistically, politically, unabashedly. The F word is like giving a big F you to plastic gender norms that don't serve us. Think on it.
Of the working people to organize and to better their conditions by means of their organized power.
We need to be free to learn from each other.
Democracy has freedom for all.
This is no simple reform. It really is a revolution. Sex and race, because they are easy visible differences, have been the primary ways of organizing human beings into superior and inferior groups. We
are talking about a society in which there will be no rules other than those chosen or those earned. We are really talking about humanism.
All the missed opportunities, resist all of the words that they use to tease, to please, appease, defy all of the roles they assign to you, survival of the hell that they put you through, so true, won't do, deny the images that don't represent you, stiletto shoes, money, ear tattoos, thongs and low rise, small and smaller size, fake lashes for your eyes. Botox, facelift, a lint your skin accrue interest, carcinogenic or spray on tans, plastic cans that don't move, but does it prove, if you lose, is it enough to choose? This society promotes variety, this patriarchal majority leaves no room for sorority, keeping us in competition, fooling us into submission. I wanna be 100 pounds, cause I love my food, I won't keep down. Like the woman upon that magazine, they're touting her as a beauty queen, but they only give you half of the story, all of the glory, none of the gory details, and most of these girls, no more than 20, are starving in a land of plenty. You wanna know my beauty ideal? I'll tell you it's something that's real. Go on, make a choice, resist and use your voice.
Think on it, dream on it, do what you can do. Is this movement so, so nowhere near through? Think on it, dream on it, do what you can do. This movement so, so nowhere near through.
What is up with the rise of the chauvinist pig? How dismally low can a society dig? We have shows just for flashing your girl body parts and harems of ladies from bachelor hearts. Preaching girls are finding there's little to buy that covers up the midriff, the neckline, or thigh. Acceptable masculinity is just as restrictive, but the guy who fits that mold is totally fictive. Now ladies, don't wear makeup, but look like you do. Take 10 minutes to get ready to look like you. Only better, like you've taken an hour or two. Who does all this marketing and tabloid inking with no hint of ethics or critical thinking, forcing us to fight this all over again? And the worst part of all is they aren't just men. When did selling your sexuality for trash TV become okay morality? And when did tight skirts and big flirts become empowerment? And when did sexy get all twisted and bent? I'm bringing sexy back under attack. It's about freaking time we started taking some flack for promoting a culture where teens oughtn't have it, but mainstream society's a total porn addict. It's wasn't like there wasn't someone trying to warn us. Hooks, Muccio, Levy, Steinem, and Davis all took the time to kick our butts, but it's a powerful pull to just stay home and putz. My online TV watching's all up to speed, but I think there's a chance I forgot how to read. But after a talk about her new hair and her boyfriend and all of his Carl's girls and money to spend, I realize I've nothing of interest to say, and the truth is my brain is just wasting away. I don't know about you, but that's just not okay.
Think on it, dream on it, do what you can do. Is this moving so, so nowhere near through? Think on it, dream on it, do what you can do. Cause this movement is oh so nowhere near through.
Touch and go, this flow, oh, we already know. There's apprehension with all this tension. We gotta speak up, not keep our heads down. Let's keep that feminist word flying around. Silence is not always our friend. Pretending you're not who you are is the end. If someone like you won't stand up and say, yes, I'm a feminist even today, then we still need to fight and we still need to shout with a sense of humor for what we're about. There are people out there who would die for the choice to stand up right now and sing with their voice.
Think on it, dream on it, do what you can do. Is this movement so, so nowhere near through? Dream on it, do what you can do. Cause this movement's so, so nowhere near through.
My fist is my voice, but I won't raise it in violence. I'll scream till I break the silence, smash the silence, lift the silence, and send it somewhere it can never hurt us again. Silence is not always a friend. My body is not an invitation. Sex and violence and conflict to my lead one to believe the force is desirable, but it's quiet strength that I find admirable in a lover with nothing to prove, hide, or cover. So this I know to be correct. We must demand the right respect. The government will change its structure within the man, will cause a rupture, will change the world. I know it's true. Sisters and brothers like me and like you.
So here's my plan. If all goes well, we each will leave here with a new idea, back, or feeling of support, or subversive organizing tactic.
That was Ariana. Thank you, Ariana, nowhere near through, for putting the F word into hip-hop. You hardly ever hear it. Also, thank you so much to Eternia. She was on the show earlier. She was awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Check out her new album, At Last. It's amazing. We're going to leave you with the amazing and not elusive at all, Lauryn Hill.
Yo, remember back on the Bully when cats used to harmonize like, yo, my men and my women, don't forget about the dean, this is not the most the king, yo, it's about a thing,
yo, feel real good, wave your hands in the air, and lick two shots in the atmosphere.
Since you've been looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, and you probably can. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian, a Muslim, sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you're thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gin, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. Think when you still defending them now. Lauryn is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because of sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. Win-win, come again.
Rims and his Timbs and his women, him and his men. Come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they defend, Papa Yang.
Like you got yin.
Let's not pretend. The one that pack pissed out by the waist, man. Crissed out by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face, man. Claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support's late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate men. The sleepy silent man. The punk domestic violence man. The quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? Come again.